we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and to our friends on the internet, hello, I'm talking to you. You have somehow found yourself at the Redemption Church podcast. Somehow somebody showed you a link or something, but here you are. I want to welcome you. I want to tell you that Redemption Church is a non-denominational church. We believe in God's Word. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we welcome you today. There are all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds right here in this room right now. If you're anywhere near North Dallas, I want you to come by some Sunday at 3 p.m., okay? You'd fit in here. Now, you're probably going to think, but I was raised Catholic. All right? So what? You're going to fit in here. Trust us. Get to this room. You'll understand. But I was raised some other denomination. You don't know. No. So were most of us. Trust us. You'll fit in. If I fit in anywhere, it's pretty much a miracle, and that happens here. All right, but you don't understand. I'm not much of a churchgoer. I'm not too stiff or too starchy or too judgy. You should check us out. I think we would surprise you. I'm not sure about my faith yet, you might be thinking. I'm kind of an atheist or perhaps an agnostic. I have more questions than faith. You listen. You stop right there. I'm telling you that you just found the perfect church for you. You would totally fit in here. We are all still coming into our faith here. God is bringing us into it. Now to you in the room, I haven't forgotten about you. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being here. Wow, y'all are some good looking people. Did anybody ever tell you this is a good looking people here? If you know, some modeling agency is going to find out about these people at Redemption Church. They're going to sign you all up. I'm so glad you're here. Look at somebody and say, you are so good looking. But don't say it creepy-ackly. Don't say it in a creepy way. Say it in a nice way. We are in the last week of our unexpected series. I'm glad everybody's here for us, here for it. And if you missed any of the previous weeks, find it out at redemption-church.com/sermons. Just look it up. You'll find it. We serve a God who does the unexpected.
That's right.
He says the unexpected. He calls us into the unexpected. He gifts us with things we will never expect. The worst thing that we can do as Christians is to think that we've got it all figured out. All right. Redemption Church, can I tell you the worst thing we could do as a church, the absolute worst thing, is to act like we have God all figured out, because God, He always comes up with something bigger than we expected. He always shows up and says, behold, I am doing a new thing. All right, you got to get ready for it. And if you aren't expecting it, if you are only looking to the old things, you will not find the God that's trying to do the new things in your life. So as a church, we got to get with it. We got to be ready for new things. Church, you should always expect. You got to get an attitude of expectation. You need to get a spirit of expecting. When you come to church, every time you worship, you should expect. You should expect to feel God's presence. You should expect that you're drawing closer to Him, He's drawing closer to you, and that that's actually tangible. That you aren't singing to an imaginary person, that He's actually real. You need to expect it. When you look into your Bible, every time you open up your Bible, you should expect that God has the exact word for you that you need to know. There are times you can open up your Bible, and if you're not expecting it, you won't catch what He's trying to show you. A lot of times you'll open up your Bible and you're like, oh my goodness, it's like this is reading my mail. Well, duh, it's supernatural. God's Word exists forever. It never goes out of style. His Word is still speaking, even though it was spoken eons ago. All right? That's God's Word. When you pray, do you expect when you pray? Sometimes we ask our six-year-old to pray over our meals. It goes a little bit like this. Amen. Goes a little bit like that. No, we try to communicate to Him. No, you're actually talking to the Lord. You should expect, even when you're praying over your meal, that the Father in heaven hears you. When you are in trouble, you should expect that he hears you. That should be an expectation. Not only that, that he is going to answer it. Sometimes you should pray, God, here's a blank check. You tell me what to do. You show me where to go. I want to hear it. And then whatever he tells you, he'll tell you to do something unexpected. He might tell you to go forgive somebody. He might tell you to stop your car, turn around. There was a homeless man right there. He needs a glass of water. God does that kind of stuff. But you will never hear that voice if you aren't expecting in prayer, if you aren't expecting him to talk to you, all right? You got to expect. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to expect that he has something for you. The Bible says that God has a new mercy for you every morning. I want you to imagine this. When you wake up in the morning, Vicky, you look over to your nightstand. There is a gift sitting there. It's not from Jeremy. It's from God. Jeremy, you need to get up on your game. Put a gift on her nightstand tonight, all right? But you look over. God has a gift waiting for you to wake up. The Bible says it. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, he's giving you that gift. Are you expecting something new from him today? In the middle of hardship and trouble, I tell you what, you can get down in the dumps and lose your faith, or you can stand on your faith and you can find victory in the battle if you expect God to show up in the middle of your hardship and trouble. So did anyone come expecting today? Was that you? Did anyone come expecting? Wave your hand at me if you came expecting today. Is that silly? No, it's not silly. All right, today I want to finish off this series with a sermon entitled Unexpected Viewpoints. Unexpected Viewpoints. Please turn to me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. All right. Please use your Bible. I want to this is something we kind of get away from. We're the digital age. I get that. Everyone should own a Bible and know how to use it. It is not old fashioned to bring your Bible to church. If you use a tablet or a smartphone, that's awesome too. You can find some really great Bible apps out there. YouVersion Bible app is great. You can take notes. You can bookmark things. You can even share scripture on social media. Very cool. It will even read to you. Go check it out. But don't just like go through life without a Bible near you at all times, okay? There's no need to because you have smartphones near you all the time. Hey, you downloaded the Pokemon Go app. You can definitely download God's Bible. Amen. The church said amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Some information on it. It's in the Old Testament. And the major figure in our story is the prophet Elisha. Everyone said Elisha, not Elijah. Elisha. Elijah came before Elisha. We're talking about Elisha today. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read it. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. You know, such and such a place. Now, this is a private meeting that's going on in verse 8 of the king of Aram and his officers. It's secret. It's hush hush. This is top secret stuff. And they are plotting to ambush Israel's army. Moving on, verse 9. The man of God. The man of God. Yes. All right. It's the preacher voice. All right. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place. You know, that such and such place. Because the Arameans are going down there. Okay, so the man of God, his name is Elisha, we're going to find out later, and he was not in the private meeting. No. Now, he's a prophet of Israel, he's not going to be in that private meeting, yet he knew everything that went on in that meeting. And he gave this info to the king of Israel, and that king's name is Jehoram. All right, 2 Kings 6:10, reading on. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. So this just didn't happen once. It happened multiple times. You follow me yet?
Yeah.
All right, good. Verse 11. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and he demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" He pulls all of his officers in the room and he says, "Listen, guys, I smell a rat. Some of you, one of you guys is talking to somebody, loose lips, sink ships. Who is it? Probably going to kill the guy right on the spot. We've got a Benedict Arnold in our midst." He thinks one of these officials is betraying him. You see it? But watch what the officials say. Verse 12, "None of us, my lord the king," said one of the officers, "but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." I think that's kind of funny. So now the king sets his sights on Elisha, is what's going to happen. But here's the deal. His officers know about Elisha. "Listen, king, nothing even goes on in your bedroom that this dude doesn't know about. We don't know how he does it, but this prophet Elisha, he just knows things," right? They knew Elisha's name. The enemy knows your name, right? The enemy doesn't know how you do the things you do, but he knows your name. You see that? In fact, we're watching out for, the enemy is watching out for you. Do you understand that? When you are a true child of God, filled with his presence, following after him like Elisha is, the enemy knows all about you. They are investigating you. They're trying to figure you out. That's how the enemy works. I'm talking about a spiritual enemy. Verse 13, the king says, "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back. "He is in Dothan." So now the king sets his sights on Elisha. He seeks to ambush the prophet in the small city of Dothan. Dothan is only mentioned one other time in Scripture. It is not a major city. The only other time it's mentioned, it's the place where Joseph goes and is betrayed by his brothers. That and this. So the only time Dothan is mentioned, there's a reason. It is tiny. It is minuscule. There's nothing going on in Dothan. Nothing. That was a Jerry Seinfeld voice. All right. So he's in this small, puny, defenseless town. Verse 14, "Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night. They surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up," so this is Elisha's servant, "when he got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." Can you imagine waking up in the morning, going outside, and there is a huge army right out your door? Can you imagine this? That's what he was facing. You would have freaked out too. We like look past these things. No, we're talking a battalion, like if armed soldiers were outside your, if the SWAT team were, my goodness, I got pulled over by a cop the other day. I was like on my best behavior, yo, just one cop. Now imagine a full SWAT team beating down your door. That would have gotten a hold of you. That would have worried you. Am I right? Ever have one of those mornings where you find an army against you and it's right outside your window? Have you ever had a morning like that? Have you ever had, "Good Lord, who is not against me at this point?" Have you ever had one of those things? Life, you see, has these unexpected viewpoints. He wakes up in the morning. He's expecting to go maybe see a cow, get some milk, maybe see some chickens, get some eggs, maybe see a pretty handmaiden down the road. But no, there is this Armenian army. All right, you never expect some of the things that you see in life. Some of you have had some of those kind of days because you never expect the day that you find out your friends have been betraying you. You never expect everything in your house and your car to break at the same time. But can I get a witness? It happens sometimes, right? It happens sometimes, like right about now in the fluid house. All right. You never expect all your creditors in the IRS to send you a letter at the same time. You never expect the doctor's report telling you you have something wrong with your health that is nearly, if not impossible, to fix. We just don't expect those things. But guess what? Life, we wake up sometimes, we look out the window, and right there is an army bigger than us. There are days you wake up to a mess, and you are just like the servant of Elisha. You are saying, O-M-L. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? That's what he said. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Somebody said, O-M-L. You see, the prophet of God, he was the prophet of God, but he was surrounded. Now, this was the prophet of God, right? We're not talking about someone that committed a disgusting sin. We're not talking about somebody that didn't give glory and honor to God. We're not talking about someone who was backslidden, who hadn't talked to God in several years. We're not talking about somebody who is disobedient. We're talking about the prophet Elisha, God's dude, God's main man. He wakes up and he is surrounded by the enemy. You see, the army you see marching down on you does not mean God has forsaken you. I've been in such trouble many times in my life where I think I've done wrong. Something bad has happened. I get a car flat. So I must have done something wrong with God. I must have been disobedient. I must have done something terrible. I must be have some gross, terrible sin that I wasn't aware of. Right? That is not necessarily the case. That wasn't the case with Elisha. Wake up. It's not the case with you either. The trouble you face does not define your spirituality. The trouble you face does not define the level of God's love for you. Do not, every time something bad happens, think, well, that's it. God stopped loving me. Don't do that. Stop thinking that God has left your side every time trouble shows up, because that's not true. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what he said, isn't it? He's an omnipresent spirit, so he fills the universe. You've never had one moment where God wasn't right by your side. This problem, and let's get just honest right here. We've got some puny little problems that come our way, and we're like, well, that's it. That's it. It's over. It's over, man. Game over, man. Game over. We're just right there, all right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Have a little bit of, I don't know, what's the word for that? Faith. Have a little bit of faith and expect that God is right by your side. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45 that the Father gives sunshine to the evil and to the good. And he gives rain to the unjust and he gives rain to the just. So stop thinking that the situations of life serve as a barometer of God's affection for you, or that the problems in life serve as a barometer to how you're living with God, because that's not necessarily the case. We have story after story. Job is a major one. So how did Elisha respond in an OML moment? Verse 16, he says, do not be afraid. Many times you want to know the biggest advice for you. It's right there. It's in those three words. Don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This story is about to get really good and really exciting. You listen up. You see, it does not say that Elisha went over to the window to look out and see this army. It doesn't say that. But he said, listen, don't worry. Don't be afraid. The one that's with us is more than who's against us. That's what he said. But we don't ever see that he went out and looked out. I mean, there could be a billion person army there. Would that change how you feel there, Elisha? You can almost picture that the prophet never stopped what he was doing. I don't know, he was cutting up some food, or he was sitting at his table, he was working. I imagine he just stayed there and kept working. I imagine he never even looked up. He just said, don't worry. God's on our side. Don't worry, the one that's for us is always bigger than the one that's against us. One could assume if the army had been 1 billion people with Pokemon Power Rangers weaponry. I said that just for you. All right. Power Rangers weaponry, that the prophet would have said the same thing. I can imagine that it didn't matter what was outside the window, Elisha's answer was gonna be the same. I want to ask you, does your faith answer change with what's outside the window? Well, I would have said earlier, but you know, this is really bad outside the window. No, I don't know. No. It did not matter what was on the other side of the fence, what was on the other side of the door, what was on the other side of the window. He was going to say the same thing. Do not be afraid. The one that is for us is so much bigger than the one that's against us. Why don't you say this to yourself right now? The one that is for me is bigger than the one that's against me. You say that. You need to know that. That needs to be how you operate in life. That needs to be it. So, it is the truth that if you have God on your side, it doesn't matter what the adversary looks like. Don't we get that from David when he's facing a Goliath? It doesn't matter what the size of the army. It doesn't matter what kind of weapons they're packing. None of that matters. It is the truth that if you have God on your side, it doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul said it like this. I wish I had some sold out believers that would quote this verse with me. And I'm talking like with some gusto, okay? Let's quote this verse together. Read it with me. We're in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what you are responding to. Your response is, if God is for me, who can be against me? Now, can I tell you something? You have quoted this verse. You know this verse. You might have had a shirt with this verse on it, maybe a bumper sticker with this verse. Let me tell you, you need to start living this verse. We need to start living this verse because the tiniest little things comes along and we're like, now what are we going to do? Time and time and time again. I tell you what you're going to do. Do not be afraid, because the one that is for us is so much bigger than the one against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? That should be your ready-made response. I want to tell you that God plus zero equals a majority. You don't need to add any other thing if you got God. You don't need, oh, I need God and a Sherman tank. That's what I need. I need God and then I kind of need to win the lottery. No, I need God and then I need my wife to forget that terrible thing I did. I need God and no, you need God. God plus zero is all you need. It's all you need. And let me tell you, God's free. Let me tell you, you don't have to wait 10 years and go through a seminary to have God. He shows up right now. You can have Him right now. If you have God, you're in good shape. If you have God, then I think your enemies might need to rethink their life choices. Now, the servant had just seen the army that was there to kill them. And he also looked around and saw the puny city of Dothan and an old aging prophet. Things aren't looking so good. He probably thought, who exactly do you think is on our side? Do you know some Jackie Chan moves I don't know about, prophet? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and Elisha prayed. Oh, man. See, don't be afraid. Pray. The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. That should be your response right there. Do we respond in prayer? Does your family respond in prayer? Get to it. He prays like this. He says, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. All right, think about this turn of events. You talk about unexpected viewpoints right here. In a matter of moments, This servant goes from the unexpected view of an army coming to kill and capture them to the unexpected view of an angel army that has surrounded Elisha, thereby surrounding the enemy. You see, when you're surrounded by the enemy, remember that the God we serve is able to surround your enemy. Now the servant got to see heaven's army because God opened the eyes of the servant. Really? All right. Opened eyes. Somebody said opened eyes.
Opened eyes.
Now we pray all kinds of prayers. We pray like this. God, give me this. God, do this. God, stop these people. But do we pray introspectively? Do we pray for God to open our eyes? While you're praying, God, stop those people, do you pray, God, open their eyes? We know that Jesus, we know that the martyr Stephen both said this prayer. They said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Their eyes aren't open to the things that they're doing. God, have mercy on them. Too often we assume that we already have our eyes opened. We assume that we already know everything that there is to know. So why should we pray about that? It's those other people. They're being jerks. They don't know. So we need to pray for them. No, sweetheart. We don't know everything. The world needs to get introduced to a Christian that will say that sentence. We don't know everything. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. This is also why we're such full of fear sometimes. We're just afraid sometimes. We see the problems, but we have not asked God to open our eyes to his solutions. We've only taken the time to see the army that's here to kill us, and we are not aware of the army that's here to protect us and save us and deliver us. If you are experiencing fear or depression, you need to pray for open eyes. If you're stuck on an addiction or a bad habit, if you've got anger control in your life, you need to pray for some open eyes today. We serve a God who opens eyes. And the eyes of the servant were opened. Boom! Can you imagine that moment? I want to tell you, God opens eyes, but he also closes eyes. Verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So God struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. Okay, so God opened eyes in this story, and he also closed eyes. And now you've got this crazy for God prophet talking to the guys that were coming to kill him. And he says, hey, follow me. I'll show you the way to go. This is really happening. Yes, it's really happening. Verse 20. After they enter the city, this is Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. Now, wait, this sounds like a terrible idea. These guys were just trying to kill you, Elisha. These guys still, it looks like they still have their swords. We have no reason to think that their swords were taken. Dear God, now open their eyes. This sounds like a terrible idea. God, put handcuffs on them and then open their eyes. Might be the prayer I would have prayed. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? You brought me here to kill them? Is that your game plan here? Prophet, I don't know. This is unexpected. Imagine the king. He's been being chased this whole time. And now his unexpected viewpoint is they're all blind in front of them. And like, what is this? There's an army. You brought an army into the city. Now you're praying what? Open their eyes. It's crazy. But this is how God works. Verse 22, do not kill them, Elisha answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Let me tell you, this is not how that world operates on any level. These people came to kill us. You know what? Let's pray for them. Let's lead them to safety. Let's give them water. Let's give them food. And then let's set them free. But that's what done just happened right there. That's what happened. You see, God opened the servant's eyes, but God closed the eyes of these men. Their eyes were closed. God struck the men blind who were going to capture Elisha. They were at the mercy of Elisha, and instead of killing them, he led them, fed them, was kind to them, and set them free. God closes his eyes, but can I tell you this? You got to know this about your God. He is always intent to open eyes. Even when he closes eyes, it's his intent to later open them. Do you believe that about your God? I'm telling you that your worst enemy, that God could close their eyes, but don't you dare stop there. Pray for them, because God's intent, God's heart, is that he would open their eyes so that they would see. God put these men in a situation where they had to surrender. You see, they had to repent. What is repent? It means to change your direction, to change your mind. And guess what? That happened right here. Don't forget that God wants to open the eyes of your enemies. He wants to turn your enemies into allies. Can we think of anybody in the Bible like that? Maybe Saul of Tarsus, anyone? He was such an enemy, and he was struck blind until he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from a Christian brother. A Christian brother he came to arrest shared the gospel with him. And as he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, it says that scale fell from his eyes, and he was able to see. Again, God closes eyes in order to give people space to think a little bit about their situation and to repent. God is graceful even to our enemies. And if they will repent, I tell you, God will open their eyes. If you feel like you're in the dark today, can I tell you something? Perhaps I'm talking to you. Maybe you need to repent. If you're like looking around in your life and you're just not understanding any of it, maybe you need to have some time. God, I repent right now. God, open my eyes. Maybe this is space for me to receive your grace and for me to bow my knees to you and for you to open my eyes so I could see. Perhaps you have some enemies that you need to spend time praying for today. Stop praying against your enemies. The Bible never tells you to pray against your enemies. This is really hard for me to preach. I'm so sorry. This is hard for me because I've got it in with God. You know, like we're buddies. You know, I got the whole power of the universe on my side right here. So I kind of end up praying against my enemies. But God's told me to pray for my enemies. Pray for them. Perhaps we should do that today. This unexpected story, it ends like this. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. That ends the story. Elisha's treatment of these men brought a time of peace to Israel. Are you looking for a time of peace today? Listen, maybe somebody really hurt you. Somebody might have really hurt you. I get it. I don't make light of it. But if you will ask God to heal your heart and start praying for them, I believe you'll see something so unexpected. I believe one day you could see them at your doorstep asking you to forgive them. I've seen it. I believe one day you could see them at church right beside you praying and worshiping the same God. I've seen it. I believe that you could see them change their life. We've seen it, haven't we? Redemption Church, have we seen it? Is that the kind of God we serve? Somebody clap your hands if that's the kind of God we serve. That's Him. Thank you, Jesus. He's done that for me. Now, this story has so many unexpected viewpoints. The servant, that was unexpected. The army, they were blinded one moment, and the next moment they're before the king of Israel and with a feast. There was something going on at all times that couldn't be seen in this story. Sometimes we're so desperate to see what everything God's doing. Let me tell you, if you could see everything that God's doing, it would actually cheapen everything that God's doing. Because he's got so much going on, you could never see it all. He's got so much, you can't just put it in a test tube and say, see, that's exactly, I've quantified exactly how much God is doing right now. No, he is doing things on the scene. God has never stopped working in people that you've given up on. God is still on the scene. You don't have enough time to learn about everything he's done. Right now, God is doing unseen things in this world. Right now, he's doing unseen things in this church. Right now, if you let him, he will culminate some things in you today. Do you want opened eyes? Jesus opens blind eyes. Say it. Jesus opens blind eyes. In his earthly ministry, Jesus opened blind eyes. We've got this verse. Tell me if it sounds familiar. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom over the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Whoa, what was that? Recovery of sight for the blind. I'll say it one more time. Recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed. You see, Jesus came to open blind eyes. If you don't understand, that is our memory verse for this month. It was also said by Jesus. Jesus spoke to men and he opened their eyes. Physically, spiritually, some of them weren't even aware of the kingdom of God, but he opened up their eyes to the kingdom of God. One day, Philip said, hey, show us the Father. What does he look like? And Jesus says, Philip, open your eyes, man. You're looking at him. He opened his eyes to what the Father is like, what he looks like. His image is Jesus Christ. If you're around Jesus for very long, he opened your eyes. He opened your eyes to your wrongs. He opened your eyes to how you weren't forgiven people. He opened your eyes how you were doing wrong things in his temple while he's flipping over your money tables. He's doing all these things. There was a thief on the cross that we only know spent a little bit of time with Jesus. But on that cross, he looks over to Jesus and he changes his tune. It's like his eyes are open and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His eyes were opened. Everyone else was seeing a guy hung up with some thieves. But this one thief, he looks over and he sees, whoa, this is the King of Kings, and this is the Lord, and this is his kingdom, and this is for real. If you're around Jesus very long, he opens your eyes. I don't understand everything that's going on at church. That's okay, just keep coming back. I tried reading the Bible, I didn't understand it. That's okay. Keep trying. Because God will open your eyes. Well, I tried that thing that you said in that sermon the other day, and it wasn't easy, and it didn't feel right, and it didn't quite work yet. Give it some time. Keep trying the Word of God, because it will open your eyes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody have that happen in their life? We're not making this stuff up. The closer you are to Jesus, the more he opens your eyes. In fact, you'll start seeing people like Jesus sees them. I know some people, it was so hard for me to forgive them. They were people really close to me. It was so hard, Vicky, for me to forgive these people. What changed was one day God opened my eyes and I realized how much God loved these people. And that the God that wanted to save me was also trying to save them. That changed me. It changed me. We need that kind of change in our life. Do you want Jesus to open your eyes today? I want to invite you to take a moment and ask him to open your eyes. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We try to tell you every time that we worship God together, we receive the Word of God together, and we talk to God together. It's time to do that third thing. Now, if you are more comfortable where you are, you just go ahead and be right where you are. But I would like to challenge you today to do something unexpected, to come out of your chair and come up here and ask God to open up your eyes. We call this area the altar. If you have special prayer today and you want God to do something supernatural in your life, if you are afraid and you want to stop being afraid, anything like, if you have an addiction, you want to get over that addiction, if you just have some situation in your life you're worried about, or maybe you're trying to seek God's guidance on how you should live and what is God, what do you have planned for me? I want you to come in the first 2 feet. You come in the first 2 feet, Redemption Church, what does that mean? It means we'll pray for you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one's going to bother you. It's all between you and God. He's in this house. These altars are open. She's about to sing. I'm going to pray over you right now as you come. Father, in your name, Lord, I thank you for that story we read about Elisha. Lord, I thank you. It is really true that you are for us, and it doesn't matter who's against us. The one who's for us is so much greater. He's so much bigger. He's so much stronger. He's so much wiser than the one that is against us. I speak to every heart today. Lord, let them be lifted up in faith, God. Lord, let them be bold, God, in coming to you. Lord, let them be bold in believing for you, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our enemies, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would close their eyes, and when the time is right, that you would open their eyes, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of their heart, Jesus, and that you'd give them that opportunity to repent and ask you to save them, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, everyone in this house that's full of fear right now, I pray over them. I pray boldness. I pray the words that Elisha spoke. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this house.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.